morning. Welcome to Daily Sabbath. Thank you to Chris Johnson, who's playing on our piano for this morning, for the prelude and the postlude following the service this morning. So again, just to say in the front end, if you do have some time, please feel free to stick around and hear Chris once more. We'll start with hymn number 876 in the Red Book. I invite you to stand. 876. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for joining us together, woven into this single community, gathered in your name to hear your word preached and proclaimed. We ask for your blessing upon Brad this morning as he shares. Help us to see you through him, so we may learn and listen, so we may search and explore, and we may go forth this day for the sake of life in its absolute fullness. This is our prayer, Jesus Christ. We trust it is your desire. Amen. Please be seated. Thanks, Brian.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. Excited to get to share with y'all. So do me a favor and kind of walk through one of my favorite times in my life. I've been really blessed to be able to travel a lot, and I absolutely love getting on an airplane. Like, that's one of the best parts of the trip for me, is being on an airplane. It's like that euphoric feeling of soaring up. It's kind of like being on a roller coaster, except it just keeps going up, you know? And I absolutely love that. But then I get up there, and like, I'm looking out the window. I'm one of those people who loves to like look and see everything get a little smaller. And I think back to the safety video, and I think, wow, there are a lot of things that could go wrong. There are a lot of things on this airplane that if something happens, like, I'm done for. And you look at that, and a lot of people get scared from that. But I look at the facts, and it actually says that planes, or like flying in a plane, is the safest mode of transportation. Per every 1 billion passenger miles flown, only 0.07 deaths occur. And that being compared to maybe a ferry ride, where out of every 1 billion passenger miles going, 3.17 deaths occur, cars being 7.28 deaths, and motorcycles actually being 212 deaths for every 1 billion passenger miles traveled. But flying is the safest way, even though in a lot of aspects a lot of people would feel that it's the most dangerous. Because you're up there, and you don't have that control. And it's not in your control to figure out where this plane is going. It's not in your control to figure out what to do if something goes wrong. But you have to put your complete trust in the plane itself, in the pilots for doing their job to make your way through. And it's cool about planes because they have a check system just in case something does go wrong. A movie just came out called Sully. I actually haven't seen it yet, but it's about a man who miraculously lands this plane whose engine failed in the Hudson River. And this is just like a magnificent feat. And there's a lot of drama that goes along with the movie. I won't get into that. But the plane's engine fails and it's still able to glide in safely somewhere, be it not like the greatest way to land, but it's still able to do that. And planes also, if one engine fails, are able to run on different engines. And each engine is able to pick up for the one that is lost. And so each part of the plane must rely on the other parts of the plane to keep going, to function properly. Kind of like how each one of us must rely on the others around us to function properly. Paul writes about this a little bit, actually. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says this: "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." For me, coming to Gustavus was scary. I was super fortunate to go to a school where I felt like I belonged in high school. I still have countless friends of the 23 kids I graduated with that I talk to on a regular basis. And I absolutely love them. And I get to share experiences with them, you know? And so we get together every time I'm home and we just talk about life. And we talk about the things we've gone through and the opportunities we've had and been blessed with. But coming to Gustavus was scary because I didn't know anyone here. I guess I knew a couple people, but I didn't know anyone here like I knew my friends back home from my school. And it's a scary thing to be able to reach out to a new community. So I came in, just this scared little boy who was like, I don't really know what I'm doing. But then orientation week happens and you just kind of get thrown in with wolves and it works. But for the whole first year, I felt like there was something missing. And that was on me, I think, for... I reached out and I had some great friends, but I felt like there was something missing with the relationships that I did have. Because they weren't the same as the relationships that I had had previous. Because I had to build them up from the ground up. And the relationships I had in high school I built up from fifth grade when I knew these kids, these guys that I get to walk life with. And so that first year was hard for me. And so today I want to talk to y'all about community and the importance of what community looks like and why we need it. Okay, so there are three main points I want you to get if you take anything away. I'll start with one. You cannot succeed alone. You cannot do this alone. Let me tell you about a story, and I'll give you a little background. It's in Exodus 18. It's about Moses, who took pretty much all of Israel out of the captivity of Egypt. He definitely had God's help, which is where he wasn't alone. But Moses, in the physical realm, did it all alone, quote unquote. And so Moses was talking to his father-in-law. His name was Jethro. Jethro was really pleased with Moses and was super happy with him. And then Moses, the next day, went out and he got up at dawn and he talked to people all day long about their problems and their issues. And then went at dusk and Jethro came to him and was like, "Moses, what are you doing?" And the Bible says, "What are you doing? What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." Jethro gave him some great advice, and I think for us, as Gustavus students, we tend to think that we can handle it alone. I know for me, I got very over-involved. I still am a little over-involved. But I have people to rely on. And just like Jethro spoke into Moses, a couple verses later he says, "Select a few capable men from the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonesty." Jethro told him to reach out to pick people who he could trust, to pick people who he knew would be able to do the great job that Moses could do, but he couldn't do alone. Because Moses is only just one person, and we are two. So you can't do it alone. Second, you have to find the right people. And that can be a really hard thing to do. There's a quote that I absolutely love from a guy named Jim Rohn, who is a motivational speaker. He says, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." And I think that's absolutely true. And I've seen it in my life with the ebbs and the flows of who I've been able to spend time with. Specific examples being, if you know me, I say some really weird junk. I use vocabulary that is definitely not typical. But when I'm around my friends, we kind of mold and fit that vocabulary too. And it's really funny, it's really interesting. And I've had conversations with people about their tendencies to say words that they've just heard me say or other people say. And it's just such a funny thing. But you need to find the right people so that you aren't molded to be shaped into what people you don't want to look like are like. Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more until you see the day approaching." So find people who can encourage you, who spur you on to good deeds. Find the right people for you. So you can't do it alone. You need to find the right people. And with those people, you need to enjoy true fellowship. Fellowship is more than just getting coffee and after church and hanging out for a little bit and then heading on your everyday. Fellowship is experiencing life together. 1 John says this, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." The light shines on everyone, but what we decide to show is up to us. I love it when it says, if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, because we need to put ourselves out there. We need to acknowledge that you need to share things with people. Fellowship comes not from talking about sports or the weather, but it comes from talking about things that truly matter, you know? And I think a common trend for a lot of people, and I know for me, especially coming into Gustavus and in that first year, was that the most important things to me were the things that I didn't talk to anyone else about. Because I was scared what they'd think. I was scared how they'd react. And I was scared to lose people. But in all reality, the only way to make my relationships better and to enjoy fellowship was to bring it out. I'm going through a book study right now with a couple of guys by a guy named Rick Warren, who's a pastor and a doctor. And he has this quote that really stuck out to me. It says, "While your relationship with Christ is personal, God never intended it to be quiet." While your relationship with God is personal, God never intended for it to be private. Because for me, my relationship with God was very personal. And I can't speak with all of y'all. And it's good that it's personal. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't share it with everyone else. Because if you're looking at a friend and you're talking to him about the weather, you're not really growing together. But if you're looking at a friend and you're talking to him about God, about what God's done for you, about the sucky stuff that's happened in your life, but about the victory that you've felt because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and he loves you, that's how you grow in a relationship. And that's what fellowship looks like. It may have taken some time for me, but I definitely feel like I found my community here. I've been able to put together the parts of an airplane that all work together in perfect unity to be able to fly, you know? And now from that scared first-year kid who walked into Gustavus, coming up here as a senior, and getting to share my experience with my community around me, that is such a blessing. And I get to share it with a community that I also want to thank so much for providing such an opportunity for me and for other people around to come to a school like this, to enjoy fellowship, to meet the right people, and to love on one another. That is so cool. Because just like a plane will rely on every one of its parts, we too need to do the same thing, to rely on our community. And if you put those parts together in the right way, you get to travel to places that are a lot better than anywhere that you'd be able to travel in like a physical sense. Because you get to travel with your community, with your fellow people, to the promised land. And that is such a cool thing. So thank you so much for being my community. And thank you for the opportunities you provide for everyone now.
I invite you to stand. We're going to sing hymn number 886. 886. Just a reminder following this blessing, if you do have time to stick around, please feel free to listen to Chris Johnson with our postlude on the piano. If you do need to leave, please be respectful of Chris and those who are listening, and please do leave respectfully, quietly. Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.